This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. One day before a possible government shutdown in a battle over Obamacare, and also a day before the rollout of the health care exchanges under Obamacare, perhaps it's time to look at the statements both sides have made about the Affordable Care Act. Perhaps short of a presidential election, the ACA has produced more statements and provided permanent employment for fact-checkers, among them the folks at PolitiFact Georgia. Jim Tharp is the editor there. You can catch PolitiFact's roundups in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Jim, welcome. Good to have you.
Good to be here, Dennis.
Let's start with President Obama. He's made some pretty sweeping statements trying to reassure folks about Obamacare and their insurance. And one of the things he said back in April was, if you have insurance, the only thing that the health care law is going to do to you is make your insurance stronger, better, and more secure than it was before. Full stop. They don't have to worry about anything else.
Yeah, Dennis, he said this at a White House news conference, and in doing so, the president glossed over other impacts of the law. Those include higher taxes and, in some cases, higher premiums. Meanwhile, some people who have insurance now will have to deal with changes from their employers, insurers, and health care providers. But most people who have large group coverage through their employers face little change, experts have told us. We rated this claim overall half true. Partially true, needs a lot of context to be fully understood.
Does this take into account, for instance, there are some big employers in Atlanta, like UPS, which are taking employee spouses, for instance, off the health care plan, at least some employee spouses?
Yeah, that's correct. In the statement, if you'll recall, he says these people don't have to worry about anything else. Well, I think those people are worrying about plenty now. So it's a very sweeping statement. It's very general, and it misses the target to some extent. Again, there's an element of truth in this, but it needs an awful lot of context to be understood. This is a very complex change. It's going to affect different people in different ways. To make sweeping statements like this just don't work. It just doesn't work.
One thing apparently that is true, though, is that if your employer doesn't drop you, you would be able to just go on getting your coverage through your employer the way you have been if you wanted to. So in that sense, Obamacare doesn't affect you.
That's correct as I understand it. That part of it would be true.
Another big sweeping statement by the president is one that actually seems to make sense on the surface, which is, look, we need to go more to preventive care, and certainly this would encourage preventive care, healthy living, that sort of thing, and that this will save everybody money in the long run. Does that check out, though?
No, that's simply not true. A lot of people argue for preventative care from a lot of different standpoints. And yes, preventative measures often save lives. They keep patients healthier. They make their quality of life better. Certain preventative measures may or may not save money, but the findings of the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office and physicians who study the medical literature on this indicate that Obama's sweeping generalization here is just not accurate. Again, preventative care can make people's lives better, can keep patients healthier, but it does not necessarily save money. We rated Obama's statement on this one false.
So what did the CBO say about that? I mean, are they saying that, look, preventive care measures will cost money for all the good they do, and certainly people ought to be living healthier, that it does cost money? We can't just say, oh, it's going to be cheaper.
That's correct. There's no free lunch and there's no free health care. And preventative care, again, it does extend people's lives in some cases, does make them healthier, and it provides for a better quality of life and in some cases prevents diseases. But all that costs money. In the end, it does not save money. Nothing shows that it saves money.
So going out and getting screened, for instance, for things when you might not have in the past, all those tests, for instance, just to cite one example, those add up.
That's right, and some people get over-tested and things like that that actually cost more money than they save in the long run.
So while the president has made some sweeping statements, certainly his opponents have as well. One of them is Grover Norquist, the anti-tax advocate, and he said back in September in a tweet that, citing the Congressional Budget Office, delaying Obamacare's individual mandate, which is going into effect tomorrow, will reduce the deficit. So if you delay things, It'll reduce the deficit by $35 billion over 10 years. That from Grover Norquist. Does that check out?
Right. Grover Norquist is an anti-tax advocate. He's a very outspoken man. And again, he's using a very big number here, $35 billion over 10 years. Norquist accurately reported the amount that CBO estimated. However, his tweet cherry-picked the CBO's conclusions. It ignores several key things here, Dennis. It ignores that the bill would produce about 11 million additional uninsured Americans. And the savings this would produce would be a one-time budget event. The statement is accurate, but it needs a whole lot of clarification. We rate it mostly true.
So explain how he's cherry-picking here. What is he missing that adds some context to it, even though his statement may be as true as far as it goes?
Well, again, he's not mentioning the fact that you're going to produce a whole lot of uninsured Americans with this, and that this savings is just a one-time event. It would eventually disappear. This is not an ongoing savings. It would occur initially. It would not be ongoing. It's simply a delay that would delay the pain, and you would have to incur that down the road.
And by the pain, you mean the pain of delaying Obamacare, correct?
That's right, the fiscal pain, of the budgetary pain of delaying it.
Senator Ted Cruz, who staged the talkathon recently, had a statement earlier on August 12th where he talked about employer-sponsored insurance and said that 7 million people will lose their employer-sponsored insurance under Obamacare. And we talked about this a little bit earlier. How does that rate in terms of the numbers of people who might lose their employer-sponsored insurance?
Yeah, well, in any year, Dennis, it makes sense to expect that some workers are going to lose their employer-backed coverage. Things change, but the CBO's 10-year forecast does not estimate how many workers will, quote, lose employer-sponsored plans. It indicates that compared to 2013, more workers will have employer plans in all but 1 year of the decade. Again, this claim skews a single cherry-picked number from multiple sources and multiple presentations. There's an element of truth to it. Fewer workers will have employer-supported plans than if Obamacare had not passed into law. But the CBO report also indicates that many Americans will obtain coverage from other sources. We rate this statement mostly false. Again, there's an element of truth to it, but there's a whole lot of context left out, and it's just barely above our reading of false.
So in other words, what we have here is that although some people may not be on their employer's plan anymore, among other things, the act itself will let them go and get coverage, for instance, through the exchanges.
That's correct. They would have coverage, just not the way they had it before. So he is using a number here, a cherry-picked number, and he's using it to make a point that's not very valid.
He's implying that you'd have no coverage at all. You'd have nowhere to go.
That's correct.
And finally, one of the president's most consistent opponents, Eric Cantor, the House Majority Leader, said on the House floor in early August, the IRS will have access to the American people's protected health care information. This is something that has been repeated by some of the leaders in Georgia. Senator Renee Unterman, who's the chair of the State Senate Health and Human Services Committee, told me something similar right in the middle of August as well.
Do you want your health records being floated all over the universe and the iCloud? And that's a very big concern, and that's an issue that hadn't even been addressed yet. We hadn't even touched that bubble yet.
Obviously, the IRS is an easy target for a lot of folks, but is there any truth to what Cantor is saying, that the IRS will be able to just go through your medical records? That's the implication anyway.
Yeah, this is an interesting statement, Dennis, and something politicians often do. Now, he offers absolutely no hard proof of this, just speculation on a blog. We found the IRS will play a major role in Obamacare. It'll collect a variety of taxes. It will help support the program. But contrary to Cantor's claim, IRS officials have repeatedly testified before Congress that they will not have access to the intimate details of anyone's health care records. Cantor's unfounded statement does nothing more than amp up the public fear for his ongoing fight to repeal Obamacare. We rate it pants on fire. That means we not only find it false, we find it ridiculously false, and it's made with a specific political intent behind it.
But in light of the IRS targeting, for instance, of some conservative groups and some others as well, but particularly conservative groups for difficulty in obtaining tax-exempt status and so forth, it certainly feeds into an already existing fear about how much one can trust the IRS.
That's exactly right, and that's probably why politicians make these types of statements. The IRS is a very easy target. They've sort of tripped over their own shoelaces on some things they've done lately in regards to nonprofits. It feeds right into that fear. But again, the statement from everything we could find is false. It's absolutely unfounded. He put it out on a blog without any supporting information. And again, we give this one our lowest rating, pants on fire.
It's always difficult to prove a negative, but is there any indication that the IRS would not be able to do that if it wanted to?
That's where there is some room for interpretation. Again, IRS officials have testified before Congress that they will not have access to the intimate details of anyone's health records. They have said that on the record before Congress, so if they were to change paths on that, that would be very bad for them at this point.
And there is, of course, federal law, which presumably would apply to the IRS as well, the HIPAA laws, which say, you know, nobody can get at those.
Right. Again, this is playing into people's dual fears that somehow their health records will somehow be jeopardized or the secrecy of those records be compromised, and that you've got the big, bad old IRS that's going to do it. These guys who have shown in the past that they can make big mistakes and get into areas where they shouldn't be.
So to sum it up, we're going through this traumatic period where it looks like we're heading for a government shutdown and a protracted fight over the future of Obamacare, and that leaves both sides a lot of room to play with the truth a little bit.
An endless bloviating over this. This is a very volatile issue. People come down on one side or the other. And there's very little middle ground in the debate over the Affordable Care Act that some people call Obamacare. People are on one side or the other. And a lot of people, Dennis, quite frankly, are in the middle confused. It's a very complex change in the way some people will do business. People care very much about their health care. They're worried they won't be able to afford it in the future. So this plays heavily on people's emotions, and the statements from both sides will come fast and furious as we go forward in this.
You mentioned the complexity of it. Does that complexity make it easy for folks with a particular political agenda to play fast and loose with the truth? Not that they always do, but does it create that opportunity just because it's so complex?
I think it creates that opportunity, and I think a lot of people that speak about it in elected positions really don't understand the nuances of the program. We have trouble understanding it. We look at it a lot. So I think some of the statements are intentional. Some of them are just misinformation that people are putting out because they don't really understand what's going on. Again, it's a major change. It affects one of the most important aspects of people's lives. So you can continue to expect politicians to weigh in on both sides of this with a lot of heated rhetoric. And a lot of that, quite frankly, is just not going to be accurate.
Jim Tharp is the editor of PolitiFact Georgia. Jim, thanks so much for being with us again, and we'll be checking back with you. There's a whole lot more to be said, I'm sure.
Thank you, Dennis.